Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this nice, it's cooler than it has been for a while, so it's a nice sunny day. I'm glad to see all of you here, and I was so excited. I don't know who did this, but somebody gave me some dandelions and Queen Anne's lace, and it's beautiful. Thank you so much. I have a few announcements for you. First, we're updating the directory, so you'll notice on the back table there is like a spreadsheet that Sun, our secretary, has made. If you could just look it over, make sure everything is correct. It's not back there? Nutcrackers. never mind. Maybe it'll be back, not next week, but we're working on it. Friday, s'mores night. We're having a s'mores night this Friday at 7:30. Bring camp chair, your favorite camp songs. We'll have the marshmallows, chocolate, graham crackers, and the sticks, and the fire. And I've also invited the Shaler Police Department and the Fire Department. So nice little community gathering. Bring the kiddos. We'll have a good time. What more do you want? I think get a paper bag. I'll have some paper bags for you. You can. I didn't. Whatever you put in your water bottle, none of my business. Also, don't forget, next week, no worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We're having our community worship at Heartwood. Worship starts at 10. There's going to be a concert that starts beforehand at 9:30. There is, for people with mobility issues, there is parking close to the pavilion. So we should be okay. And then finally, August 27th is coming up soon, our church picnic. And it's a potluck. The deacons will have the main dish. We'll have a basket raffle and a 50-50. If you'd like to donate a basket, please see BJ. And that should be fantastic. Yes. That sounds great. What side dishes and or desserts for folks should they bring?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you don't need your own dishes. We have food.
Yeah, but food item, like that's the potluck part, is side dishes and desserts. Okay, they'll have the ovens on, so if you need something to be kept warm. Okay. Any other announcements I'm missing with that?
Thanks for all the weeders.
Yeah, thanks for the weeders. Yeah. There is a deacon meeting after worship today. And yes, thank you so much for everybody who came out to help weed yesterday. If you missed it and you're like, oh man, I'd like to weed some more, the outside of the church is never locked and you are always welcome to come down and do a little digging in the dirt if you would like. Okay. Is that all of the announcements? Okay. Well then, let us place our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings as we gather together to proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. All who are thirsty, come. God is the fountain for our lives. All who are hungry, come. Jesus feeds us with goodness and grace. Rich and poor, young and old, neighbor and guest, come. The Holy Spirit gathers everyone around the table. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Gather Us In. God is not mean-spirited or vengeful. God is gracious and merciful, always willing to listen to our prayers and to hear our hearts. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. We are sure we do not have enough to end hunger in our communities, holy God. Forgive us that we forget that by your presence and power, very little can do so much. We believe we are the only ones who carry heartache around us. Forgive us, compassion's heart, that we do not see or embrace the despair of those around us. We think we do not have the words with which to offer hope and healing to strangers. Forgive us, welcoming God, for not having the courage to run up to them with your grace. We convince ourselves that we need to devote all our time, our energy, our resources, our lives on keeping up with others. Forgive us for not living that joyful, gracious life modeled for us by you, Jesus, our brother. Listen, come to the one who covers us with compassion, who feeds us with grace and mercy. What good news! Everyone who thirsts is given water. Everyone who hungers is fed. Everyone who sins is forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated and join in our congregational anthem, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Pray with me. Compassionate God, you are good to all. Help us to trust in you and to share what we have with a hungry world. We pray for your Church Universal, that our relations with other religions may be respectful and abounding in steadfast love. Enable us to join with people of all faiths to work for the well-being of all your children. We pray for the earth and all the creatures who look to you for their food in due season. May we do our part in restoring the balance of your creation and deepen our commitment to follow Jesus in ministries that feed and serve others. We pray for all the people of the world, nations, and their leaders. We pray that wars will cease, that the hungry will be fed, and that refugees will return home safe in safety and peace. We pray for all of those who suffer from physical ills and for those who wrestle with you for personal identity and spiritual peace. We especially pray for Kathy Sagi, who will be undergoing foot surgery on Tuesday and then entering a rehab facility. We thank you for answered prayers during the hospitalization and successful surgery of Tweety, and being a comfort and guide to AJ and Suzanne during the unknown. We lift up prayers for Peggy's Aunt Judy, who's recovering at home from a hip fracture and who can't drive or be with her dog for at least 30 days. The D'Amicos also thank you for continued prayers and calls and cards for Joey and for Cheryl's mom. She really appreciates all of you and your prayers. May all of your people find their truth without money and peace without cost. As Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Gracious and merciful God, abounding in steadfast love, we join our voices with all that you have made in speaking your praises and blessing your name with the prayer your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, As the Deer.
Thank you.
Please be seated. In the faithful hands of Christ, our little is multiplied to feed many. Come now, let us offer our loaves and fishes to the all-sufficient one who said, "Bring them here to me." Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the word, the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. This is the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your divine mouth, make us hunger for heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Has anyone here seen a magic show? Yeah. I mean, most of us have. At the very least, we've seen it on TV, right? I've seen a few, like as a kid, magicians were fun to have at parties, like birthday parties, and I thought magic was a lot of fun when I was a kid, and I also thought it was fun just to trick people with things, right? I know, it's so out of character. But I guess I also really liked to spoil the illusions for other people by pointing out, like, when I saw the card, go up the magician's sleeve. I like magic. I like illusions. I got to see Penn and Teller perform live a few years ago, and they're so good at it. Like, even though I know they're not magic, right? I know that they're performing illusions, but they still get me every single time. I can never see them put the card up their sleeve or how they're untying themselves underwater. I don't get it. So magic is cool. But miracles are different than magic. In a miracle, there's no sleight of hand. There aren't books that you can buy telling you how to perform them. I did have a chemistry teacher once try to tell me what it would take to turn water into wine. I still didn't quite get it. Miracles can only come from God. And now I know what I'm about to say is just a little bit controversial, but I think that the feeding of the 5,000 is a little bit both miracle and magic. I think there was something from God, and I think there was also a little bit of sleight of hand. But let's sort of start at the beginning. So in Matthew, the passage just before this, Matthew describes the brutal execution of John the Baptist. And then the passage that we start with today, Jesus is hearing the news about John's execution. John was unjustly incarcerated. He was given the death penalty by Herod Antipas. And for greed and just for pleasure, John's head was literally served on a silver platter. And Jesus must have been absolutely grief-stricken. And I would imagine maybe a little scared, too. John wasn't just a good friend. John was the cousin who danced with Jesus in their respective wombs upon meeting for the first time. John was Jesus' messenger, his compatriot, his forerunner. I think you might understand that Jesus would probably like a little time to mourn, to process what has just happened. And so Jesus tries to retreat. He tries to find somewhere that he can go and be by himself. But word travels quickly. You know, the Israelites were, on Twitter, telling people where Jesus was going to be next. They're constantly looking at their phones, getting their GPS. But yeah, the word travels quickly, and they get wind that Jesus has come to this deserted place, and it's now filled with a crowd. A crowd so overwhelming and full of need. Even in the midst of his own grief, Jesus is just filled with compassion, and he heals them. And I imagine the disciples are also feeling a bit of grief, and they're grieving John's death. They probably want a little bit of alone time, too. And they think that they've found the perfect excuse for dismissing these people. Would you look at the time? We're so happy you came. but we weren't really expecting this many people, find ourselves unprepared. How embarrassing. So I guess you're going to want to head back to town and get some dinner before everything closes up. It may sound like the disciples were a little heartless, but I don't think that that's the case here. I think they were genuinely concerned about the crowd and the people. The crowd isn't pictured as, you know, like starving and destitute, or that they're trying to get something for nothing. They just want to be around Jesus. And it just happens to be around dinner time. And the disciples want to make sure that they get some food. And they know they don't have any. So they ask Jesus to send the crowd away into town so that they can eat. But Jesus has another idea. Jesus says, "No, you feed the people." Even though Jesus originally came out here to be alone, he's not willing to turn the crowd away. And if the disciples give these people something to eat, they don't have to leave. Jesus, we have nothing. I mean, we have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, but that's barely enough to feed us, let alone thousands of people. But 5 loaves and 2 fish isn't nothing. So Jesus tells them to bring what they've got. And he tells the crowd, sit down on the grass, we'll take care of it. And this is where the magic, or the miracle, happens. He looks up as he's breaking the bread and he blesses it and he gives praise to God, expressing trust for God's providing. And then he gives the bread back to the disciples to disperse to the crowd. We don't get a lot of detail here. There's no indication at this point that Jesus physically changed the loaves of bread in any way. No one mentions the baskets feeling heavier after the blessing, or looking more full, or anything like that. So maybe the magic or the miracle didn't happen yet. I find it really interesting that in most of the Bibles that I've read, this passage, it has a little title on it that says, Jesus feeds 5,000, or, you know, something along those lines. But Jesus didn't feed anyone that day. He had the disciples do it. And that, in and of itself, sounds like a miracle to me. Because have you ever tried to get 12 people on the same page? And then have them implement what you're asking? Because I have a hard enough time with 6 of yens at a time. The disciples pass around the baskets. Everyone there, well over 5,000 people, ate until they were full. Not just like a nibble here. And there were still 12 baskets of food left over from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Either those loaves were each the size of a full-grown adult, and the fish were 2-ton beluga sturgeon, or some other extraordinary sleight of hand happened. Or a bona fide miracle occurred. I will not deny the possibility of the loaves and fishes multiplying. I will not deny that. Jesus engaged in much less believable miracles in which I do not doubt. But I also won't discount that a miracle of sharing happened that day, and that the people in attendance were inspired to offer up whatever they had initially kept hidden in their travel bags. Jesus' generosity evoked their generosity. All right, so what's so miraculous about sharing? It can't be that hard to share a few bites of bread with the folks sitting next to you at a picnic. But if you're not sure if you or your family will have anything to eat tomorrow, if you give away a few bites of bread or a sandwich today, that's a big deal. There's a scarcity mindset happening. And even in the U.S. today, we have a bit of a scarcity mindset. We not only have to protect what we currently have, but we have to consider grasping for more and more. Because if somebody else gets it, we don't get it. And this mindset tells us that we have to look after our own interests, because surely nobody else will. When that sense of scarcity is alleviated, when it's turned into this sense of plenty, when we feel like there's a safety net to catch us if we fall, when we see other people sharing, we're more willing to turn our pockets inside out. To give everything because we trust that there's more where that came from. The disciples thought that feeding these people was impossible. They wanted to turn away because it was such an overwhelming prospect. We do that so often. The problems of the world seem so huge. What could I possibly do? I'd rather just pretend it doesn't exist. The need outweighs the resources many, many times over. And we've all felt that at one time or another. When the disciples followed Jesus and worked together, there was enough. There wasn't just enough, there was more than enough. So if we too join together in unity and in faithfulness, God will be with us. Miraculously breaking through in the most unlikely places, loving us, guiding us, and providing for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our communion hymn, Feed Us, Lord.
invitation is simple. Sit down where you are. You don't need to run off to somewhere else, not a nearby village market or a familiar sanctuary. Communion is where you are. The disciples complained, it's a deserted place and the hour is late. And Jesus said, they need not go away. No one needs to go away. No one is deserted and no one is late. Jesus has compassion on every crowd, healing them, even their hungers, one by one. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our Creator and Ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We remember how on many occasions Jesus would share a meal with friends. Bread and wine, the very basics of life, shared in community. How the bread would be taken, a blessing would be offered, and then shared between them, all of them ate. How some wine would be poured out, a blessing offered, and then passed between of them, all of them drank. Be present with us now, and holding God, let your Holy Spirit brood among us and upon and through this bread and juice. Make us one with Christ, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ. Great is the mystery of our faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took the bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, remember me. Every time that you take of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Loving God, we give thanks that we have gathered together in this sacred space. We rejoice in the giftedness of each person here. We are grateful for who we are for each other. Send us out in thankfulness to live and work to your praise through the power of the Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." Before we go back out into the world, let me leave you with a charge and a benediction. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Send no one away. Instead, feed all those who are hungry, support the weak, help the suffering. Honor all people. Now may the generous blessing and favor of our loving, abundant God lift you, sustain you, and send you to the world with the gift of life. Amen.